at 806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Wednesday style. Glad to have you here. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. Talk to our buddy Jeff Poore. First Reader's Work in Lagniappe, Yellowhammer News, Breitbart News, and the host of the Jeff Poore Radio Show. Hey, good morning.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. And here we go. All right. It's the home stretch here, to be cliched, into the July 14th primary runoff. That do we want to do some gambling on this?
Yes.
You and I and Dalton, and like putting something together here, like what you think turnout will be percentage wise. What do you think? Statewide, I mean, I think we can all say easy money is below 10%.
I think it's a good over-under. Okay. I think 10.
Okay, so 10's the over-under. How much action do you think there is at 5% turnout?
That's, I guess, a little low. The reason I think that's low is because of the two congressional races. It's going to get higher than that. So that keeps it from getting... I think that's a... Okay. That might be a little too much of a floor.
So we just put the guardrails on this. It's basically 5 to 10%, somewhere in between.
Well, it could be higher than 10%.
Well, it could be, but you think of smart money is somewhere between 5 and 10%.
I think 10 is the over-under. I think it could go either way. I think 5 is way too low. I'd say 7. Between 7 and 12 is probably more of a good range.
See, I'm thinking lower, and the reason behind that is...
We'll give you good odds on that.
We had this push, of course, months ago, everyone to stay inside, stay at home. That seemed to at least fade into the background for a month, maybe a month and a half, and then now we're right back at that with the media and government saying it's best if you just stay away from everyone, and I think a lot of people are listening to that. You know, we have all these mask ordinances, and this isn't a general election. You don't have Republicans lining up against Democrats yet. I think in November you might see a lot of Republicans show up at the polls, maybe just out of spite of the media who says to stay at home. For this one, I just don't see that many people, you know, whether it's true or not, risking their health and going out to the polls.
Well, keep in mind it is a Republican primary. That's where all the action is. There's still some races on the Democrat side. But I think since it's a Republican primary, where you really probably will decide at least two of these congressional races, because the Democrat won't be as strong, and at least not as strong as Doug Jones will be in November, there is an attitude among Republicans that this coronavirus stuff is overblown and it's some kind of evil plot by Democrats or George Soros or something. I think that is a mentality that you're going to find more of in a Republican primary, so I don't think it's going to be quite as low as it might seem under these circumstances.
All right, so let's delve into the reason people will or won't show up next week, and that is, number one, statewide, the Senate Republican primary runoff. We got Sessions, we got Tuberville. You know, we can look at polls that showed Tuberville having huge leads. We can show polls that show a small lead out there, but it's all down to what happens for turnout. And you've talked about that before, that lower turnout may benefit Sessions.
Yeah, it becomes less about percentages. You know, you talk about the polls. Turnout's a 23-point lead. If you believe his Sessions and Turtles, it's 6 points. I still think it's 10, 11, 12 points.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. But this is the point I'm trying to make is that percentage. The lower the turnout, the lower that number is percentage-wise. It becomes more of a numbers game than a percentage game. If you make it a numbers game, then there's no telling what could happen. It could be raining in one part of the state where Tuberville might be strong and not in the other, and that could be just enough to sway the election, or at least make it closer than it would have been otherwise.
It's not. It's that simple. Inclement weather moves the needle on this?
If it's low turnout. If it's low turnout. If it's 5%, as Dalton thinks, then yeah, weather would be a big factor, because you might keep 100, 200, 300 people away if it's that low. So little things matter more in low turnout than in large turnout elections.
All right, well, let's talk about the questions about why this may be 10% double digits on this for Tuberville, because I think all three of us were listening to Tucker Carlson last night, and Jeff Sessions on with him. I mean, Tucker's done this before, so has Laura Ingraham, other national conservative hosts that are all very pro-Trump, have made just a impassioned plea for people in Alabama to vote for Jeff Sessions. It's they kind of go down the checklist of why Jeff Sessions is the right person, but for some reason back here in Alabama, there's this idea that, well, while they would follow the lead of those folks normally, now on this one they don't. They're wrong. It's Sessions must be punished.
Well, I think it's a couple of things here. The reason you see these national media types, A. Coulter, Michelle Malkin, and Tucker, and
Laura Ingraham.
Yeah. Jeff Sessions, the last probably 10 years, the second part of his term, he was one of the few U.S. senators that really worked with conservative media. They gave conservative media the time of day. Their staff worked together. They worked on stories. They worked on narratives. He was one of the most friendly, if not the friendliest, to conservative media. And I think that has a lot to do with what you're seeing nationally with conservative media and Jeff Sessions. But on the other side, Alabama, a lot of people, it's kind of like there's, when we talk about Alabama football, how many people were alive the last time Tennessee beat Alabama? Well, other than Doug Jones and Luther Strange for a brief spell, no one's known anybody other to be their U.S. senator than Jeff Sessions or Richard Shelby. Doesn't seem very outsidery, does it? It seems very entrenched. I think there's this perception, okay, be it as it may, unfair perception, but perception is sometimes what drives these polls and these voters, that Jeff Sessions is just kind of part of the system, and it's an outsider's electorate now.
And I got to tell you, that is part of my frustration. And not that people need to decide one way or another, but people gloss over that. Because you talk about Jeff Sessions, let's talk about during the 8 years of Obama, that the person that was there in the rotunda with a live shot most evenings, laying out the planks of a platform that would become the platform of candidate Donald J. Trump, this was the man who was doing it. And immediately, because of a question about recusal that we've gone round and round with, and, rule of law and obeying rule of law and the reasons there, it seems like all that gets thrown out. That this Main Street populism, and I was calling it Main Street populism before Donald Trump came on the scene. I was talking about Sessions and that Main Street populism. But it's like been completely forgotten that this is the architect.
I make this point over and over again with you and your audience, but Sessions is Trumpism, and Tommy Tuberville is Trump. And are we electing a guy based on policy and ideas, or are we electing a guy on style and that aw shucks, or whatever you want to call it, the candidate itself or the candidate's ideas? And that's the debate we're having right now. It looks to me now, this could totally change. The polls could all be wrong. But it looks like the stylistic approach is what is winning today over the ideas.
And so the substance is not important. It's the delivery in this.
But it's never been. I mean, we like to think that it is. You and I, guys that talk about this stuff on the radio, like to think that it is. But, a lot of people are superficial. They look at the cosmetic.
It's the cult of personality. It's the person, not the message. That's how you drift away from the rule of law and the Constitution.
In this era of the media and these elitist and these institutions treating normal everyday Americans like they're dumb high school kids, it's that Tommy Tuberville, Donald Trump, it's that rebel, the maverick or whatever you want to call it, is why that does well. And the ideas, the problem with ideas is you can have ideas, you get elected to the U.S. Senate, you're one of 100 members. What does that get you? It gets you a lot of good speeches and policies, but does it ever become reality? And I think there's an element of that involved as well.
Jeff, first off, didn't appreciate the unnecessary dig at Tennessee a few minutes ago, but let's talk a little bit about the July surprise. We saw that article, Quinn Hillier was on it first, and then I think New York Times Magazine about Tuberville and the hedge fund, and then something regarding him, suspending a player for only one game. Does this move the needle at all for voters in Alabama?
I think it's a little too late, personally, to get really into the electorate, but I'm not sure that it would. Look, here's the story, though, guys. This stuff, I think, Clifton Robinson and this hedge fund thing the New York Times put out, Clifton Robinson being the player you're referring to, Dalton, I think that the Jones guys had this stuff chambered and ready to go. And this, they are already playing the game like it's Tommy Tuberville. they're heading against up against Tommy Tuberville. And the more of this that gets out there, it does help Sessions. Is it enough? Remember, this is a big, there was a big hurdle to overcome, a big, big wide gulf between the two. Is this enough? And does it have time to get around and out through the electorate to change people's minds? It's kind of like this race is being run since parts of last year, early part of last year, and you're expecting something to come out in the last week or two to change that when people have already kind of made up their mind for the last year and a half or so.
All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Poor. We'll continue this discussion. Also, AL1, and we may look at that AL2 thing as well as we approach the primary runoff coming up on the 14th. That's a Tuesday, y'all. Tuesday. Thank you, Kane. 823 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Sean and Dalton talking with our buddy Jeff Poor. Continue the discussion. Talk to some Senate race here. And so you don't think there's enough time for any of these questions to get any kind of traction, right? The questions about the hedge fund, the questions about the player suspension, this is not going to move the needle.
I mean, it'll move the needle some. Don't get me wrong. This is definitely going to give Jeff Sessions some momentum. My thinking is it seems like this is kind of a trend with Sessions' campaign, even from the get-go. He was the last in, qualifying on the last day, then hiring the staff, running around looking for a general consultant. And all of this is, it's just they've been playing catch-up from the first day. Whereas Tuberville's been out there, he's been running since April of 2019 or whatever. They've been playing catch up, but now we're at this phase where you want to go after Tommy Tuberville. It just seems too little, too late. Why weren't these stories at the Sessions campaign? Why weren't they getting these stories out back in May? And to me, that here we are, it's July the 8th. We're less than a week away. And these stories came out over the weekend or last week. It just seems like it's a little bit too late because people have had such a long time to make up their minds. It's like when we talk about demos and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. Why is that 25 to 54 demos so important to advertisers? Well, people have made their minds up at an early stage in their life, and they have that they're entrenched. That's in their mind. Well, this is the same true with kind of with elections. The same kind of concept that they made up their mind early on. And it's going to take a lot more than these late stories, these late inning, you know, breaking stories to change their mind.
And so even whether it be Tucker Carlson last night or in the past or other TV shows where they're watching the national shows, that you've got these conservative commentators going, yeah, why not Jeff Sessions? He should be the person. That's still not, there's not enough time.
I don't think so. I don't know that Tucker Carlson sways an Alabama electorate like he would a national electorate. It's not clear to me what his reach is. Alabama's a hard state to figure out. I mean, there's no question about it. And I think it's good and it helps. But I don't know that it's enough given the circumstances and given the lead. My question for you guys, you're right in the mix of this. It's not clear to me that Bradley Byrne voters are really going Sessions' way. And I don't know if you're hearing from people what you can say anecdotally, but I think he's got to win at least 75% of those in that district to own this to win this election on Tuesday.
Yeah, nothing scientific here. I am hearing from people from on the phone call or people that are on the text line or the email that are saying, hey, I'm somebody who was, because they'll say, I just wish Bradley Byrne was back in the mix, but they'll say, I guess I'll vote for Sessions. You know, it's kind of a, oh, well, but I guess I'll vote for Sessions. But that's not scientific. You know, that's just.
Yeah, because the problem from the get-go is if Sessions is only, you know, when it was the entire primary and Sessions is only pulling a third or 30% or whatever he pulled in the primary, he's the incumbent, essentially. He is the pseudo-incumbent, even though he's not actually the incumbent. People know who he is. He has 100% name ID, and they're looking, maybe we ought to look at something else. That's a red flag.
All right. Before we run out of time, let's talk about AL1 and the Republican primary runoff. This thing has had a lot of money put into it, a lot of attention put in on it, and it is coming to a head here between Jerry Carl and Bill Hightower.
And we just mentioned Bradley Barron. I think it started going the other way for Jerry Carl as soon as that endorsement came out. Who would have thought Bradley Barron had such sway? But it just seems like that momentum in the Republican electorate, it seems like it's Jerry Carl's. Now, Hightower's gotten a bunch of endorsements since then. And he has Club for Growth backing him. But, you know, Club for Growth, I don't know that that's going to be enough. It just seems when you talk to people on the ground. But the problem is, even if you look at some of these polls, the problem is we don't know what a likely Republican voter is. We just spent the first part of this this appearance talking about turnout. It's hard to know in a congressional race, particularly there. So Carl seems to be doing better in Baldwin County. That might be where he wins this.
Jeff, you know, a majority of our audience do go to the polls and vote, and you can see that in our poll question on FMTalk1065.com, where 94% said they were going out to vote. Now, I don't know if the common voter is turned off by all of the PAC ads for Hightower, the Club for Growth, but we've been dealing with Club for Growth here now for years. We've seen them in past elections. Do you think for a lot of voters in Alabama that that's starting to be a turnoff? Just if Club for Growth endorses this one candidate and they send out attack ad after attack ad, that makes them more likely to vote for the other candidate. Are you seeing that at all?
Yeah, I think so, but I'm not sure how big that number is, because when you watch a Club for Growth ad, you don't know that it's Club for Growth unless you're paying attention to the very, very end and you're reading the fine print. Do people do that? And I don't think that people do. I think they just see one ad, another ad, another ad, another ad. Those ads matter. That money matters. Those negative ads matter, especially at this time. But are we assuming they're able to connect the ad to Club for Growth and then make a connection to Club for Growth as being this bad entity? I'm not sure that might be a little much.
All right. Speaking of Club for Growth, also involved in AL2, kind of help us here in AL1 understand the AL2 runoff.
This is a fascinating race. Barry Moore wasn't supposed to have a prayer even in the primary. I think it's getting a late surge here. Last night, Jeff Coleman and Barry Moore debated. You don't see campaigns where it's a blowout having debates. Coleman still probably got an edge, but Barry Moore's made this very interesting. He's outkicked his coverage all the way to this point, getting into the runoff. This is going to be one to watch because, like I say, in a low turnout election, particularly in the Wiregrass and in that river region of Montgomery, I think, that could be a really, really tight one. We might be up a little later waiting for that one to be called.
All right, Jeff, as always, I appreciate your expertise on this, and remind folks they want to check you out online. What's the best way to do it?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
Good stuff. Thank you, man.
Thanks
all right.
For having me on.
Looking at the text lines here. This one, if Alabamians aren't going to be told who to vote for when President Trump says vote for Coach Tuberville, then why should Alabamians be told who to vote for when Tucker Carlson says vote for Sessions? Well, I don't know if either of those things are true or untrue. I think it's by the individual. This idea that, which one... I think it resonates differently with different people on this. But we'll hear from you. People saying here, this is why I'm confused on the vote. I get it. There's a lot of confusion. Supermom says, I read who the ad is from. Believe that. Supermom, we need more people doing exactly that. All right, 8:30, FM Talk 106.5, coming right back.
Here on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning.
Hey, so let's talk some great deals. You always have great deals at McConnell Automotive. But,
oh, yeah.
But this month, employee pricing on SUVs. Tell us all about that.
I mean, it's just, it's employee pricing. Like I said, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but the terrain, employee pricing, that gives you about $3,000 off. then you get an extra $3,000 in rebates on it. I mean, that's a heck of a deal on a 2020 terrain. Don't forget, we got employee pricing on Yukons too, not the new Yukon, but the 2020s. We got a few of those left. The new Yukons are coming in. If anybody's seen one, I mean, they look absolutely fabulous. Don't forget about our used car inventory. Check those out at McConnellAutomotive.com or give Gene and I a call at 251-476-4141. We'll take care of all your needs and come by and see us. Hopefully it'll be a beautiful day today and we'll rock and roll and sell a few cars.
Yeah, good stuff. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Right, 836, and this one says, your favorite fan says, no way, Tiny Tumberville. Yeah, people with the, dude, I've spent all this time in this business without nicknaming people. Don't know why. Just not done.
It's impressive.
It's not, I don't go there. He says, anyone who gets on TV and says he's got Tiny's back and would go against laws to protect Tiny, he has already shown himself to me, go Sessions, I would vote a Democrat before Tiny Tumberville.
Yeah, well, Sessions not exactly a giant, so it's funny. If you're gonna call one Tiny, I mean, the other one's pretty short as well.
What does that matter for
it doesn't.
Policy? For policy?
It doesn't matter at all.
I mean, what, you know, that whole... You could still like Tumberville, but the whole like the weight room thing, and we could basically the undercurrent is I can bench more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can bench more than Session. I'm not hiring somebody for feats of strength here.
I can't remember. Has either candidate put out a TV ad of them walking through the woods with a firearm over their shoulder?
I think they all have. Well, in the Senate, yeah. Now I know Tumberville has.
Okay.
I don't know if Sessions has. I know in the AL1. Right, so I think they both have their shot with somebody with a shotgun and somebody with some camo on in it. And, of course, you know I'm watching this stuff like a hawk because if you don't go out, it's like the Mitt Romney thing where you said, oh, I do a lot of hunting. I go after varmints or whatever.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, it's cool. I'm not hiring you to hunt. I'm hiring you to go to Washington.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if that's part of who you really are and you got a shot that you're around the farm. But if you're putting on, mm-hmm. don't do that. Just be yourself. Talk about, you know, why people should hire you for the job.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it is a formula. It is formulaic. It is cliched as it can be. If we have the time and the budget and a camera crew, you and I have talked about, I'd like to put together the ultimate political ad with every cliche in it.
Yep.
It just, you know.
Dog, family, weapon. And don't forget our governor, Deadeye at the range. Remember, didn't she have that ad?
Did she?
Was it Governor? I thought she had something where she was at the range going into the last election. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe.
I don't want to be wrong on that, but I seem to remember that.
We'll Google that. All right, go to the phones at 343-0106. And Paul is up first in Mobile. Hey, Paul.
Hello. This is not what I called about, but I clearly see Sessions winning. He came in second in everything in Byrd's County. So.
In what?
In Byrd counties that Byrd won. Session was second in every one. Session was second in every county. So I see Sessions winning the GOP.
So you disagree with that, all those polls out there?
Yeah. When it all comes to say that they're gonna, I mean, if it's all the polls, I whatever, I don't even know, I don't follow all those polls. But anyway, that's not what I called about.
Okay.
I called about when I thought I'd heard about the silliest thing, when y'all were calling patriotism racist. Hmm. You know, saying that patriotism was being called racist.
Yeah, with the Mount Rushmore speech from Trump,
yeah.
On
well,
the 4th.
I consider myself very patriotic. Then my patriotic part considers social justice, Black Lives Matters, kneeling to protest, and Karen laws who are going after hate crimes. So maybe the problem is y'all's definition of patriotism.
Maybe it's your
about the ability to learn, which was the second part of that discussion with Clint Hilliard, was that, you know, once you learn something's wrong, you know, you have a learning curve.
Well,
so my thing is that patriotism that we're calling out today, that old form of patriotism, was actually racist.
Okay, so let's start. Let's unpack this.
So my definition of patriotism has social justice, Black Lives Matter,
you already said
all
that. All right, so
like
let's.
That.
I'm giving you a second. So let's go through this piece by piece. Although first, I do want to start with the Karen thing, that act out of San Francisco. So you're on board with that to make
yeah, because it's like hate laws, hate crimes.
If somebody,
you know, when your intention is not to call a false report, but to do more, to be based on hate. Then it's a different thing. So it's like.
But how are you going to? How are you going to subjectively?
It's against the law to do that already.
Wait.
No, it's a hate crime because your extra motivation.
Paul, how are you? Who's going to be the arbiter of that?
We all know.
Who's the arbiter of that?
The law.
But who is it? Is completely subjective. You know what's in people's hearts and minds when they make the call? Are you going to be?
No.
So who's the arbiter?
We don't get into that in judgment. We have to.
No, let's get into it because that's the factual.
Judges make calls all the time.
But does the person at the 911 dispatch make that?
On subjective matters.
Answer my question. Does the person at 911 dispatch make that decision? Does somebody, when the report's filed?
No.
It's a false police report, right? So why?
Prosecutors do. It's at that time they make the prosecutors. When they realize that it was based on a hate crime.
How do they know?
They do that. I don't know.
You don't know. You're the one who called me. You should know.
It's a hate crime law. That's all the Karen laws are going to be on.
It's
going to be considered that is another form of hate crime.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I do want to know, should Mount Rushmore stay or go?
Yeah, what do you feel? It should stay.
Okay. But do you feel patriotism when you see Mount Rushmore?
Do I feel patriotism?
Are you proud of your country when you see something like that?
I'm proud of my country as it learns.
Okay, so
that's
let's
what
go.
I look for. I look for a learning curve, and every time it makes a learning curve, which this is a great time, then that's when I'm the most proudest.
So when the country is changed, and that, listen, we can go back over our history and talk about big changes that have happened in this country that are definitely make us a stronger republic.
Right.
I agree with that. But what I see here is a discussion that has gone not to let's change things that may need to be changed in our country to a wholesale indictment of our country and people who just, well, they just don't like the country.
This is like being upset about apologizing.
Huh?
Apologizing is a great attribute.
I agree.
Okay. But no, that's not what it was. It was, we should never apologize about being us. Yeah, you're supposed to apologize. You're supposed to learn.
Who?
You're supposed to grow. And that's what patriotism is to me.
But it is on this issue. Is it on all issues? Is every time the country changes, is it for the better?
I don't know. I can't argue about everything. But we're talking about, you know, if overall it is, hopefully it is. And we have our dark moments. We have our dark days. You know,
Are we better if we erase the past as well?
It's not considered erasing the past. It's called correcting and putting it in perspective.
Okay, so
these
how do you do that?
Statues should never have been put up. You know why most of them were put up. And now what you should do is put them in a museum so we can discuss the real things.
Okay, so then how far does that go? You know, you're talking about the Confederate statues, but...
Well, the other statues, no, because that wasn't the sole reason they were put up. That wasn't the sole indication. The other ones, we have to you know, reflect their whole aspect of a person's life.
But they're being torn down. Heck,
I agree that President Trump ought to have a statue in the Hall of Presidents.
Right, do you believe...
But we ought to tell the real story.
And that story is...
That Trump, what Trump really is, which you wouldn't even tell your son.
What?
When I asked you in the very beginning whether you were going to tell your son your true name, he says, no, I won't tell him the truth, what Trump is.
Huh?
When Trump first got in office, I asked you, I said, are you going to tell your son who Trump really is?
No, I don't remember the conversation, but it seems like
and
one
said,
where you...
No, I'm not going to have that conversation.
Oh, no, you were talking about all the Stormy Daniels stuff and all that. No, I'm not going to have a discussion with who was then a 7-year-old about sex and all that. No, I wasn't, Paul. Does that make me a shill because I wasn't going to have a talk about sex with my 7-year-old?
No, you don't have to talk about sex. You have to talk about the kind of individual...
I remember the discussion. I remember the discussion. You wanted me to get in a conversation about Stormy Daniels and all these allegations and grab him by the pee, and I'm not going
to
do that.
I wanted you to be able to tell you what kind of person it is, a person who disrespects women. That's what I wanted you to say to him.
No, I think you wanted me to talk about the sex story.
I would never do that.
I'm a good guy. I think I remember that. Paul, as always, interesting calls. We'll come right back. Let's do this. Run to the break. We've got people holding. We'll get to your phone calls at 343-0106. No, I'm not going to have a...
Well, you see, son, Bill Clinton had an intern.
Yes. Yeah, I wouldn't have that conversation about Bill Clinton either with a seven-year-old. Okay, I'm a throwback. I think there's a time that is correct, and at 7 years old, no, I don't. I'm going to have those discussions. I think it's okay for children to be children for a while. Red 851, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Morning, Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, Dr. Bill Williams, Kane, y'all. It's all different pieces of the machine here that make things move. All right, and before we go to the phones, we all need a little bit of levity here. I need a little bit of levity here with all the other things in the news cycle. And Dalton just presented me a story that involves a stolen vehicle, somebody driving a stolen vehicle, getting in an accident.
Yeah.
And you'd say, well, why is that a big deal? And then Dalton gives me the rest of the headline.
Yeah, so story of the day, maybe week, maybe story of the month. A police chase in Oregon. So we're talking Oregon man here. Police chase in Oregon ended when a driver fleeing authorities in a stolen car crashed into a woman driving another stolen car.
Yeah. What's your density of car theft in a community when your two people driving stolen cars run into each other?
So you have this one driver from Portland, Randy Lee Cooper, driving a stolen Toyota Land Cruiser. The police chased him for several blocks, and then he crashes into another car in an intersection. They find out that the driver of that car, Kristen Nicole Begway, was found to be under the influence and in possession of a car in an unrelated crime that was stolen 3 weeks ago.
I mean, it begs the question, what is your density of stolen vehicles when they're running into each other?
Amazing.
I'm sure we're going to get some story. This probably happened before. It just kind of stood out to me. All right. And a lot of people on the text line, listen, understand that... people are like, oh, well, letting Paul. Paul and I have been talking. We've been debating for a decade here. Paul's been with Paul. Sometimes somebody says it's scary how much Paul sounds like Doug Jones on the radio. We're sure he's not the same person. I've met both, and they're different people, but they may. I guess they sound alike, but no. I mean, Paul and I disagree about 98.6% of the time, but. We'll always take his call. And yes, Dan is scared that I would have missed the story about. That it's a happy birthday to Gino Pelucci, the person that invented Gino's pizza rolls.
Ah,
so that is
he has burned more mouths than any person in America.
It's true.
Or it sounds like he's from Italy. Wherever
you bite in, it seems like the crust outside is okay, but somehow it is molten lava inside.
I don't have patience for that. I burn my mouth every time.
All right, let's go to David in Mobile next. Hey, David.
Paul's call was the perfect example of what they say when they say, if you erase history, then you can revise it.
He's saying, no, I think what Paul's saying is he's proud of the change. And I don't put blankets on things. There's change that's happened in our republic that I am proud of, and we make a better republic. But just change to change.
I was talking about that last exchange I had about talking to your son about who Trump really was.
Yeah.
Because I remember that conversation, and your recollection of that conversation is the same one that I have.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not going to talk. And people on the text line asked about that, and they were going back to Kennedy. Listen, I'm not having grown-up fun time discussions with my seven-year-old. I'm sorry if that makes me an old stick in the mud. And I'm a pretty libertine dude, but man, I don't have that conversation with the children in my house. No,
exactly. And Dalton, that stolen car story would have made a perfect 0.5 story for 6.5 story.
We may recycle it.
Yeah, we might have to use it again.
All right, I want to talk about the lawsuit with Tuberville. That's what I called about. First of all, this was back during the Great Recession, the 2008-2009 time frame. And a lot of people were losing a lot of money in the stock market. A lot of lawsuits were being filed.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, it was discovered that Tommy Tuberville's business partner did commit some acts of fraud and was criminally charged for that. Because Tommy Tuberville's name was listed as a business owner, he was just as responsible for those criminal, civilly responsible for those criminal acts as his business partner. So he went and took responsibility for the the stuff that he said he would take responsibility for, and came to an out-of-court settlement on that. That tells me that he's a man of integrity and accepts responsibility for what he says he's going to accept responsibility for. And that's the kind of man I want representing me in Washington, not swamp elf that just goes and runs everybody's name through the mud because he wants because of what he wants.
Because Tuberville hadn't run anybody's name through the mud. I will say this: you make an impassioned plea, and I think somewhat you make a case. But let me point out that I played the game the other way. Okay, so Tuberville made that deal for the $1.7 million or $2.2 million or whatever the payoff was, because if it would have gone to trial, his risk would have been much higher for more money in the payout. So he did the deal to avoid the bigger exposure to liability. What about that, Dave?
That is one argument. And
it's the best one.
But Sean, let me give this example to illustrate what I'm trying to say. If Dalton goes on an explicit tirade on the air and just lets a bunch of F-bombs go, while he may end up paying for it through deductions in his paycheck, who's going to write the check to the FCC for that fine? That's going to be you, because your name's on the FCC license.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's a similar situation to what I'm saying here.
To some degree, but that is, you know, then you got to go into this unknown, and I'm not saying I know one way or another, of did I know that Dalton was going to go on the, on the tirade with the F-bombs? Should I have known? Should I have been checking into his mental state if he was going to do that, right? What was my responsibility, or how much of it was completely unknown to me? How much of it was negligence on my part, or how little negligence was there?
Exactly, and that's the same questions we need to be asking with the lawsuit situation, just like we need to be asking...
I've told you, I don't think this lawsuit situation... I've been the one saying I don't think this lawsuit situation moves the needle. What else may they have, might they have against Tuberville? I don't think that moves the needle. I think the argument is who is the best senator for the state of Alabama. I know this is, you know, not what everybody wants to hear, but the job is to the people of the state of Alabama, not to the presidency, not to the Oval Office. So, but that's one that you can bounce back and forth, and people can argue it different ways. Who's the best for Alabama?
And I understand that's what your thinking is, and that's what my thinking is, but we've come to two different conclusions
there you
on
go.
That.
And that's fair. And that's fair. That's fair when we come at it, and I appreciate the call. But that is one part of this that I want to point out again. And once again, vote, you know, I mean, there's people have a lot of different opinions, or at least have two different opinions in the Senate race. I do look at this. Eventually, whether it happens this year by losing to Joe Biden, for President Trump, or after another 4 years, eventually Donald Trump won't be president. Who is going to be the best at carrying out these ideas that people think so much about, that President Trump ran on? Who will be the best ambassador for those for Alabama in Washington? That's the question you got to answer for yourself, right? All right, be back in 3 for Midday Mobile.